Hello and good day to all, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm Dr. Karen, your co-host, and this production produced by Mr. Gary McCants, and we thank God for his vision. First, honoring God for the opportunity to come to you with topics that we feel are relevant to you, your family, and the body of Christ. Our communities have and will be touched by so many issues, and open discussion and prayer is what we all say is needed. I want to speak today about a topic that has sounded a great alarm in the United States and maybe around the world, but definitely in the United States. It's a short three-sentence topic, a three-word topic, I apologize, that has had many ears and eyes open up to what's next. The sentence is, don't say gay. Don't say gay. I want to give you just some little insight about this, just in case you are not aware of what this really is, or if you need to look a little bit deeper into it. So this is not the first time that this has come up, but the bill was signed in Florida by the governor that's titled the Parental Rights in Education. It has been dubbed by critics as the Don't Say Gay Bill because it seeks to ban discussion of gender and sexuality issues with younger students. Now, another bill that passed in Florida Senate recently would prohibit instruction that says certain races or sexes are privileged or oppressed. When the legislation doesn't specifically mention critical race theory, which a lot of you may have heard about, mentioned on talk shows and in the recent months, especially near the beginning of 2022, the ending of 2021, there was a lot of conversation about critical race theory. And this topic is normally given in education, in higher education, colleges and graduate programs. But it acknowledges that racism is systematic and institutional in America, in American society. And let me say that again, that racism is systemic, I apologize, and institutional in American society. A bill analysis by state Senate staff highlights the teaching of critical race theory as something that will be prohibited according to what was seen in CNN. So a lot of the information that's coming out, and if you look up CNN's writings on this, it's very, very detailed. So the new bill, however, is supposed to protect individual freedom so those in Florida don't have to feel guilt, anguish, or any other forms of psychological distress based on their races, sexes, or national origins. So, in short, what that means that no one wants to say anymore what has happened during the civil rights, time of the civil rights for African Americans. No one wants to talk about, say, even slavery. No one wants to talk about how our Jewish brothers and sisters were treated and genocide. No one wants to talk about what the Irish Americans have gone through. No one wants to talk about what the Italians have gone through. No one wants to remember that there were different Asian countries that were targeted. It's just so much, okay? But the thing is, is it will never be forgotten. Personally, whether topics of race are taught or not, there are horrible things that happen to so many races throughout time. If you teach it or not, if you take books out of the libraries, if you ban books from certain libraries all over the world and the country, it will always be remembered because the blood of many veins are carrying the hurt, pain, and suffering. These memories are discussed in documentaries, in books, at family reunions. I went to my family reunion and we had a historian that showed us our actual ancestors on the slave market down in Charleston, South Carolina. Adult man number one, child number two, woman number, you know, we saw it for ourselves. We saw the bill of sale. We saw what happened. And all of us that went won't forget, and those who now have children have told their children about what we saw. And it is honest. If you watch the wonderful ancestry shows that come on TV, you hear it. I mean, there's no way to stop it. Even if you said you want to ban it from all media, for all time, it is still going to be out there because it is in our inheritance. Now, let me say to my understanding that Don't Say Gay is not a new political issue, which I heard recently that it came up before in one of the southern states. We know it is an issue, though, in many homes and in the hearts of individuals. The beliefs are different and for some quite upsetting for a lot of different reasons. I want to share with you from a professional perspective, the Don't Say Gay bill protects children very young, K through third grade, I believe. I had a very interesting and heated conversation about it recently with a group of family members. One, a doctor, myself, a professional intervention specialist, an older woman who was a Christian, 84, and a young man that is a biblical teacher along with being a civil engineer. The question was, should a child have the confidence and trust in the staff of a school to help them from being bullied or targeted because they appeared possibly to be gay or from having parents who are in the LGBTQ community? The answers and debates were solid, and it opened a lot more to be discussed. So one individual felt that it should never be discussed at school. Maybe take it to a teacher or a counselor and they contact the parent. Somebody else felt that nobody in the world should even acknowledge if anyone is feeling these tendencies and this is not what God said and they should just be ignored. Someone else said that they see a lot of young men already being affected by these kinds of traumas that have caused it. I said that there is a lot of discussion that I'm still having with people who wanted to go to somebody when they were younger. There is not enough time to tell you all of what I seen in the time I worked in schools as an interventionist specialist in schools K through 12. There's no way young children in kindergarten to third grade should need help in this issue. They are doing nothing but saying ABCs, learning how to count, and, you know, it's fun, it's games, and then they learn how to read a little, and then they're writing, and they go out and play recess, and this is all they should be doing K through 3. I had more than one suicide attempt in kindergarten. Children that have been touched by boyfriends and had been beaten, are you listening? Beaten if they did not roll a blunt. And you all know what a blunt is. It's what they call the bigger stick for marijuana to smoke before they left from school. You had somebody in kindergarten try to commit suicide? Yes, I did. And they all did it the same way. They took their shoelaces or belt and tried to hang themselves in the little bathrooms that's in the classrooms or kindergartens. They put the shoelaces or belt on the hook and they tried. I had children in the first grade who told me that they had been touched. They told me that they had to be forced to watch their mother and boyfriend have sex. In the second grade, I had children that had already told me that they were late for school every day because their mother said if they did not roll the blunt before they left, that they would get beaten when they got home. So in the second grade, they're getting up, and I asked them, do you know what that means? How do you do it? And they told me in their own voice how it was done. They told me in their own voice what they knew it took to do that, in step by step. I had a young lady that I had to talk off the ledge in that she was ready to die. She was confused about her sexuality and told me that when she went to her parent, she was told, get away from me. I don't want to hear that mess. Now, this young lady had been targeted by an adult woman when she was a young girl. And it left her confused. It left a spirit on her. And she began to crave that attention from women. She's tried to be in marriages with men, and it doesn't work because she always is thinking about what she should do with a woman. This happened when she was 7 years old, and now she is in her 30s. She wanted to commit suicide recently, and she is not the only one that I have worked with recently, and I had to almost get on an airplane, and God allowed me to work with her by phone because she called me, I listened, we prayed, and then I put steps in place to help her. I had a third grade young man whose mother was off and on as a lesbian, leaving him very hurt, confused, and angry because the mother was showing up to his school and in public purposely wanting to show off her new relationship. And it was during the times that she decided she wanted to be with the woman. She wanted to come up to the school, see him, show off this woman, walk together up and down the hallways, kissing in the school. And that's when she wanted to be with a woman. So what we're going to say now is you all know that she should have been the first person getting counseled. But these are households that people are being raised in. The young man showed up eventually to school with lipstick on. He had tried to take it off, and he had been experiencing trauma at home. And when he was at home, he tried to dress up like a girl. He tried to dress up like a girl. He was sent to my office, and it was a mess to deal with. But he told me what happened. I had to call in a grandparent to come and get him because the mother was off and about with her that day girlfriend. Dr. Karen, what is your belief? I am a follower of Christ. I understand this issue to be very tough. We have to love each other and also have a responsibility to share and stand for what is right. We say love the person, but hate the sin. I am also a mother of a son and daughter. We had these discussions when they were very young for many reasons. I saw rape in locker rooms with girls on girls. I know men that have been targeted by boys, coaches, mothers, boyfriends, and it wrecked their lives. The persons that are affected by these politically motivated issues, the because I'm running for office, are those people in your home, in your families. These are the people that's being affected. The laws are pushing the topics to be handled at home, and I'm saying it should be. But if someone does not know how, who do you go to for help? When you tell someone you should not have sex before marriage because it's a sin, right, that's what you hear, that's not enough. We have to learn how to engage and stand as a team for our families. It needs to start in our local churches. If we teach it at church, does that make it right? I did not say teach it was right. Teach what the principles of God are and show him and what he says about our lives. Have group sessions and bring out topics that concern our children. I've helped many for youth pastors, and I'm telling you the truths that came out, the healing that took place, can never, ever be forgotten. The enemy is working overtime, trying to steal our children and just suck the life out of us. We got to take back our homes and leave the politicians out. Do you really understand why Jesus came and died for us and what he stands for? Have you really taken time to look at his life? Have you really taken time to look at the prophecies about him coming and then who he was when he walked the earth and what he left us in the Holy Spirit? He promised in John 10:10 and told us the thief, who is the enemy, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's Romans 12:2. I want to thank you for listening. I pray that you now have something to talk about. Follow me on Instagram at Dr. Karen L. Donald. That's Dr. Karen L. Donald. And look up my website at www.drkarenldonald.com. That's drkarenldonald.com, where you can join my community, set up counseling, and more. I have a book on Amazon, and it's been a great read for teens, and they wanted to read it more than one time. It's called From Trash to Treasure by Dr. Karen L. Donald, From Trash to Treasure. Until next time, be blessed and prosper in all you do.
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCance, the producer and host, and author of Continual Relational Challenges. We're talking about our adversary, the spiritual enemy of our souls, S-O-U-L-S, and the two-legged persons that he uses around the globe, irrespective of skin tone, irrespective of gender, irrespective of zip code. Satan has a plan. And John warns us about those that will implement that plan. He has a strategy. Think about it. You have goals. You've laid it out how you're going to reach those goals. You're either going to do it the right way or the negative way. Upbuilding or breaking down in order to get there. I remember I was assigned at the time in the protection world of the protectee. And I had just finished a book that I gave him to read. And in that book, it talked about the lonely whine of the top dog. It told the story of a person, either a man or woman or man, that walked over everybody, used, misused everybody to get to the top. Whatever the top is for you. And when he got there, or she got there, they found out that they were headed back to the bottom where they started from. But they also learned there was no one around to help them, to be there for them, because they had used, misused, harmed everybody to get to where they wanted. The adversary has a strategy. You know, later on for you, write down 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. But it was a young lady. It could have been a man, but it was a young lady. She took her fiancé home to meet her parents for dinner. After dinner, her mom told her father to find out about the young man. So the father invited the fiance to another room to have a talk. He asked him a question. What are your plans? The father asked the young man. The young man responded, I'm a biblical scholar. A biblical scholar, said the father. Admirable, but what will you do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in? The young man said that he would study. And God will provide for us. The father asked him, well, how are you going to buy her a beautiful engagement ring such as she deserves? The young man said, I'm going to concentrate on my study. God will provide for us. The father asked him, and how about the children? How are you going to support the children? The young man said, don't worry, sir. God's going to provide. And so they continue communicating just like that. And each time the father asked the young man a question, he insisted that God was going to provide. So later on, the mother asked her husband, how did it go? Her husband, the father of the daughter, answered, said that he doesn't have a job, he don't have any plans, and he thinks I'm God. It looks like the young man had no direction, did he? Do you? Now, don't misunderstand. You can and should commend him for his faith in God, because our loving and merciful God expects you and I to work also. But without a plan for life, nothing ever seems to go right. We all need plans. Think about it, my brethren of a household of faith. It's about setting goals for the future, the immediate future. So you know in your life, you know it's true. It's time to renew your vision. And at the same time, just remember, always endeavoring to encourage and develop those that you and I meet on a daily basis into committed followers of Jesus Christ. And you also got to remember, there's no need for individuals and places of worship to have a strategic plan. It keeps us focused on our goal. Now, I'm going to see if you really just heard what I said. Do you notice how I threw in there real quick, there's no need, like the adversary does, like your two-legged enemy does? There is a need. I'm going to repeat it. There is a need for you and I in the places of worship to have a strategic plan, because it keeps us focused on our goals. But also, did you know that Satan has a strategic plan? So I know you already read ahead in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. I know you did. But just in case you didn't, dear children, the last hour is here. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you're not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit. And all of you know the truth. I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lie. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Do you see the first thing here in Satan's strategy? Do you see when it started? Do you notice it started the second that our Savior died on the cross? Look at verse 18 again. You don't mind, do you? Dear children, the last hour is here. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. Think about that. From this we know that the last hour has come. So here you got John. He's writing, dear children. So you already know he's writing to Christians, believers of the household of faith. In essence, he's saying, listen up, brethren. Listen up, Christian. The Antichrists are here. They're starting now. These are the last days. And I know you get tired of people predicting the end of the world. You know you do. Because if you remember and you look around, there's been hundreds of advertised predictions for the end of the globe, or predictions when our Savior would come back. But you got to remember, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, turn while I take a sip of my coffee. Jesus said that no one, not the angels or even Jesus, knows when the last day will be. And the reason is that you and I are confused about the last day. The last, when our Savior died on the cross. We're living in the last days. All creation. Remember, everybody's not a child of God. In order to become a child of God, according to St. John chapter 1, verse 12, what must you do? But everybody is a creation of God. All creation has been living in the last days since the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that time as linear. And, you know, And when you really think about trying to comprehend what these last days are about, because you want to put a number on them. I know you do, but you can't do it. And as we get closer to the end, of course, common sense is going to tell us that every day that passes is going to put us one day closer. But we don't know when. Satan saw what was done on the cross, and he developed and initiated his plan. Look around the globe right now, what's been going on. Those in America, look at the United States, all that confusion. Look what the adversary is doing through the two-legged individuals on all of those topics that God is clear on in his word. And for any person that's naming the name of Jesus Christ, John says, not only is the ultimate Antichrist coming, there have already been Antichrist among us. His plan was started as soon as the last day started. And not only do we see when this grand strategy started, we also see who's going to be the main players. Don't you see it in the word? Antichrist. Think about it. There's going to be an ultimate Antichrist, but until then, there's going to be a multitude of antichrists. Satan is going to use anybody who he knows that he can use as against Christ. You don't hear people around the globe where I live at, that's against Jesus Christ, that's against believers of the household of faith, that's against the word of God. And it may be somebody you know and love. Satan is going to use anybody that he can who is against Christ. My brethren, the household of faith, do you notice how the atheists are winning in America? Now, you know that's part of the grand plan. Do you notice recently how all the churches of Satan is getting bold, coming out? Do you notice all of these things, these areas, have become bold and bold and bold? But we as believers of the household of faith, we sit back and in the name of tolerance and religious freedom, we allow the atheists to win. You know, that's part of the strategy. The devil knows that ultimately he's going to lose, but he wants to take as many with him as he can. And you got to remember where he's taken them. They're just not in our streets protesting. Where you been? They're in the schools. Where you been? They also in the places of worship, in the churches, whether it's behind the pulpit or sitting in the pew. Satan is going to use people who are church people. Look at verse 19 again. These people left our churches, but they never really belong with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. And when they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. Do you see how these antichrists, as John calls them, were members of the church, you know, body of believers, not a building. But something happened. The spiritual enemy, the devil, Satan pulled them into his grand strategy, and they would start places of worship of their own, but they would deny many tenets of the faith. They would question the gospel, you know, the good news. Look at verses 21 and 22 again. I'm writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. You see, the devil's going to take people who have just a little knowledge of God's word, and he's going to use them to pervert and twist the truth. You got to remember, there's some basics to the faith that are not negotiable, nor up for a different interpretation. You can argue translation issues and culture issues, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is undeniable. Over and over again in the word, in the scripture, we're told that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born into this world in order to be the sacrifice for our sin. You know, those evil thoughts, words, and deeds that we do daily. But he came in order to reconcile all humans that he created with God. And the scripture makes it clear that he was crucified a horrible death so that you and I can be saved and heaven bound eternally. And the scripture makes it clear that he was resurrected from the grave to prove that what he was telling you and I was the truth, and illustrating for us that, yes, there is a life after death for all who believe. Remember now, that's our current and future hope. And without that, we're all miserable because there would not be any. The scripture makes it clear. Not your pastor, not your imam, not your rabbi, not your priest, not your human teacher. The word of God makes it clear that Jesus ascended back to where he originated and will one day come back for those who believe, either dead or alive. It makes no difference. But oh, the adversary, the enemy of our souls, the one, if he had the power of death, would use it, taken away from him because of what Christ did at the cross. Satan wants to cast doubt and division and division and division among people so that they won't know what to believe. Look around globally right now, today. Look around in the United States of America today. Look at all them individuals in two legs that the adversary is using. God forbid any of them be believers who have walked away from the faith, helping others who are unbelievers cast doubt, cause division among people, among races, among genders, all of that, so that they won't know what to believe. And that's what the devil does with the Antichrist. You know, there's a movement out there that was started some time ago called the Emerging Church. I know you heard of it. You know, a group of Christian communities around the world who want to revamp the church. And there were some quotes from some of the leaders. They said that they have become increasingly uncomfortable in the church. They said, life in the church had become so small, it had worked for me for a long time, then it stopped working. Then they started questioning the Bible itself. One person said that they grew up thinking that they figured the Bible out, that they knew what it meant. Now they have no idea what it means, period. Another person was quoted as saying that they were discovering the Bible as a human product rather than a divine product. In other words, what they were saying is that the Word of God is not the inspired Word of God. And then you had a former pastor, a leader. They said, I don't think we have a gospel right yet. Well, if you know anything about Gary, you've always heard me say, do your independent research. I don't care what the topic is. I don't care who the person is. But go before God, believer. A relationship. Remember, I look at everything and everybody like a relationship. Go before God. Oh, God, I come before you, asking you to forgive me for any evil words, thoughts, or deeds. You want a clean heart before God. God, I don't know what's going on. I'm meeting these individuals. They say this is what I should believe. They say this is what they believe. But in your word, it says something different. I don't want to compromise because I know any moment you call my name, I got to give an account. And I don't want to stand before you saying that the reason why I supported this person their belief system, all that they're doing, which is contrary to your word, was because I just wanted to be liked by them. I just wanted to be accepted by them. I just wanted to run with them. I just wanted to be in their group. I just wanted to walk in their money crowd, the love of materialism, the love of money, the love of position, the love of titles. A former pastor said, again, I don't think we have the gospel right yet. Okay. Again, my brother in the household of faith, research the emerging church and make up your own mind about the movement. But ask God to reveal the truth. You know he's never lied to you. Because what you're going to find is they're attacking the truth of our faith. The gospel is not something you and I have to get right. Jesus Christ already did that. Jesus Christ got it right when he gave his life for you, and you, and you, and you, and me too. But the adversary's plan, that spiritual enemy of our soul, using those two-legged individuals who don't believe in the God we serve, his plan is to use these antichrists to confuse and cloud the truth of Jesus Christ. Remember now, God is not the author of confusion. Brother of the household of faith, got to remember, Satan is not omniscient or omnipotent. He's got to use somebody that he can find to turn people away from Jesus Christ. But the Apostle John warns us to watch out for those that's going to take the gospel and twist it and reduce it to no more than a story written by a man. But John also gave us a word of encouragement. Look at verse 20 again. He said, but you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his spirit, and all of you know the truth. John says that we're not antichrist, you know, those who are against Christ. And he makes it clear what the answer is, because we've been given the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us if we're saved. And that spirit, he's going to guide us in what truth is and what a lie is. Brother of the household of faith, don't let the devil, don't let Satan pull you away from fellowship with God. Because when he does that, you can no longer be a witness for God. And while you're doing all that, be on the lookout, remember? A watchman, a watchwoman. Be on guard. Because we do have an enemy who do have the plan, a strategic plan. Don't become a part of his plan and those that he used to come into your life, to cause all that confusion, to cause all that havoc, to cause all that doubt. Who has God brought to your heart and mind today for your life? And while you're pondering, may God, through Christ, by his Holy Spirit, bless you as you continue to strive to walk worthy of his calling. I'm Gary McKinn, producer and host of Challenges of Faith radio program, as we continue our topic.